Before we get into this second lesson in our series in the book of Proverbs, I want to just encourage you to look at the handouts again that I've given you, or open your Bibles. Someone looked at my handout for today and they said, there's nothing on the back. Is it going to be a short sermon? I said, yeah. So there you go. But you can use that if you'd like to follow along. We're going to be looking at Solomon's words to his son in Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9 particularly. And I want you to listen carefully to this very appropriate nugget of wisdom on this special day, Mother's Day. He says, listen, my child, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. There will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, I find it interesting that right after Solomon here is urging his son to hear his instruction. Now, hear what your dad's saying. He tells him to pay attention to his mother. Now, if you were to ask my daughters, Mandy and Sarah, how many times over the years I told them, listen to your mama, I'm sure they'd say a lot. My grandchildren also could say they heard some similar counsel from me. I would usually say something like, you make sure you pay attention to your granny. You respect your granny. You listen to your granny. Several years ago, the Barna Research Group released the results of a survey that revealed that it is mothers, more than fathers, who are most likely the ones who fortify the family with faith. In the opening remarks of that report, it says this: mothers inhabit many roles inside and outside of the family. Within the household, they're often counted to be the emotional compass, the organizers, multitasking managers of the family. And if you add to that list the function of being a spiritual energizer, well, that's a lot. Mothers are some of the most faith-minded and spiritually active people in our society today. If you had a mother like that, give God a praise offering this morning. Do that. If you had a mother like that, a mother who was all those things and maybe so much more, praise God for them. Now, a few years ago, I learned that zoologists had discovered that a baby goose or duck will assume that the first creature that feeds and cares for it is its mama, even if it's a human. This instinct in relation to humans was first documented in the early 1900s by noted ornithologist Conrad Lorenz, who found that certain birds, when exposed to a mother figure in the first 2 weeks of life, would bond to that parent, whomever or whatever that was. Aviculturists who raise geese report that goslings will recognize their bonded caregiver and be able to differentiate them from strangers. They say they can identify the one who raised them even after they've been apart for several years. Now, this bond is known as imprinting. It's so strong that some wild birds raised in captivity have to be fed and cared for in costumes, dressing up almost like a bird to prepare them to return to the wild. However, once that's done, within a larger flock, geese, for instance, can still recognize that though their mom may have been different, their siblings are geese. Again, this behavior of imprinting helps a chick survive in the wild, making it responsive to a parent, particularly the parent who nurtured it, yet still able to distinguish others that might cause harm. Now, you might be thinking, why in the world is Pastor Steve sharing a mother goose story today? Good question. Believe it or not, I've been sitting on this piece of information for several years now, ever since I read Whisper by Mark Batterson, where he goes into great length talking about this imprinting. In his book, he expounds on the fact that human babies are imprinted quite early by their mother's voice. The inner ear is the first sensory system to develop, becoming fully functional by the fifth month of in vitro. And by the seventh month, a baby recognizes and responds with specific muscular movement to the mother's voice. Amazingly, there's no time delay between the sensory input of the mother's voice and the baby's motor response. In other words, the baby moves when the mother speaks. I can't help but wonder if Elizabeth may have said something under her breath when Mary told her how she conceived a child by the Holy Spirit. Because if you remember the story, the babe within Elizabeth leaped within her womb. I wonder. Neuroimaging has shown that a mother's voice exerts a unique influence on the child that she carries. More than any other sound, her voice activates the reward centers of the brain, as well as the almond-shaped brain nucleus in the temporal lobe, known as the amygdala, which resonates the emotions. Simply put, a mother's voice leaves a neural imprint upon the baby's brain, even in the womb. And that imprinting can continue to influence the child throughout the entire life of the child. Thinking about that, I don't know about you, but there are times when it's like I can still hear my mama's voice. How about you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It may be a soothing, even reassuring voice at times. At times, it might be a word of advice or one of caution. I remember mom saying things like, "Now think about what you're doing or you're about to do." Is that something that would please God? Oh, there were words sometimes of correction when I behaved badly, and I know it's hard for you to believe that I ever behaved badly, but I honestly don't recall my mother yelling at me per se, unless it was calling me in for supper. But she did have a way of speaking that let me know she meant business. And then, of course, there's that look. I know this much. If I'd have listened to my mama more, I'd have avoided a whole lot of headache and heartache in my life. And that's precisely Solomon's point. Listen to your mama's teaching. Listen to your mama. Listen to what she taught you. Listen to what she's teaching you. Listen, listen, listen. Now, the text there is directed to children, not to parents. And we know there are several other scriptures that make it clear that we're to honor our parents and to obey them. We're to listen to them. One passage that covers it well is Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Paul, writing to the church there, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so it may be well with you, and you may live long upon the earth." Seems pretty clear to me. We're to listen to our mama. Yet, allow me a brief aside here. The teaching of mothers here isn't limited to helping kids learn to walk or to brush their teeth or wash behind their ears or eat their vegetables or to mind their manners, as important as all those things are. The Hebrew word for teaching in Proverbs 1 there is Torah. It's the term the Jews used to refer to the first five books of the Bible. They call that the law. Mothers were to quite literally lay down the law. Any of you ever have a mom do that? To lay down the law about something? To say, these are the rules, these are the house rules, these are the rules in the family, these are the rules for life. To lay down the law. But again, the scripture here isn't talking about just emphasizing a mother's personal rules so much as emphasizing the precepts of our Heavenly Father. To listen. Now, I don't know about you, but as a child, I didn't care much for rules. And as an adult, I don't always care a lot about laws. Unless, of course, I see the benefit in them. And I see that they protect me, and they're good for me, and they're beneficial to me. And I think that's that me-ism that we all tend to wrestle with at times. But Solomon, and God through Solomon here, is trying to tell us that, you know what? These rules are for your good. These laws are for your benefit. Whether you see it in the immediate or not, they are for your benefit. They're to bless you, protect you, guide you, counsel you through life. So I'm particularly pleased to hear of moms who, rather than using books like The Hungry Caterpillar for a bedtime story, share the true stories in Genesis and Exodus from the book. Now, I'm not saying there's any harm in the former, if you want to share that story, read that story, The Hungry Caterpillar. There's no real harm in that, but there is great worth in the latter, sharing with them the true stories from God's Word. So here's a shout out to all those moms who make it a priority to impress godly principles upon their children. Thank you for doing that. And I believe your children thank you for doing that, even though they might not be thanking you in the immediate, that the day will come when they will. A mother's teaching here in our text is depicted as something that will adorn those who accept it. Proverbs 1:9 says, "They will be like a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." What's up with that? For one thing, jewelry, then and even now in many places, is a status symbol. And it serves as an item for beautification. Solomon gives a clear picture that a mother's instructions should be seen for the treasures that they are. That they will beautify your life if you pay attention. People will notice wise choices, behavior, wise words, just as someone might notice fine jewelry that you wear. Ladies perhaps wear necklaces a lot more than guys do. But have you ever been complimented for a necklace you're wearing? A new necklace or new earrings or some new jewelry that someone says, "Oh, that's pretty, I like that." It's noticed. They might even say, "Well, that looks very attractive on you." They might say that. A friend of mine, actually, he's a young friend who actually refers to me as an uncle in Rockford. Just talked to him yesterday. He had a cross hanging on his neck, a silver cross. Notice those things. The garland refers to a victor's crown. One was placed upon the head of a general returning victorious from battle. A chain or necklace was sometimes hung around his neck as well. Also around the king during a coronation. The crown and the pendant both speak of victory and honor. So a child who listens to his mama, we're being told you can experience some victory in your life. Some power in your life, some success in your life. If you listen. Paying attention to godly teaching and the discipline of a mother can reap great rewards. In ancient times, athletes didn't compete for a Super Bowl ring or a gold medal. But when they won a race or victorious in a match, they were crowned with a wreath or given a medallion that's interesting enough bore the image of their benefactor. So not only would they be recognized as someone who won, but who they were competing for. So the benefactor themselves received honor for the achievement of the one that they'd been speaking into and equipping. And so think about that. When we wear the teachings of our mothers, doesn't it honor them? Mothers, aren't you honored when your children actually pay attention to what you taught them for their good? Think also about this for a moment. Many have recently participated or about to in graduation ceremonies. Graduates may wear caps and gowns. Some receive special awards for achievements, don't they? Now, boy, some of the graduation ceremonies, if it's a big school, you got to sit for a long time before you see your child or grandchild or whoever it is you're going to honored. But it's wonderful to see them honored, isn't it? It is. All of them are handed diplomas. The garland and the pendant, the necklace and the text are signs of achievement, see? And even at times a sign of authority. You may recall that Pharaoh put a gold necklace around Joseph's neck, indicating his royal position. That's in Genesis 41. And Daniel, in Daniel 5:29, we're told, later received a similar honor after interpreting the handwriting on the wall for King Nebuchadnezzar. It's that idea of achievement, of recognition, of award. Listening is not necessarily something many kids know how to do these days. There are some legitimate learning disabilities, ranging from ADD to dyslexia and a whole alphabet soup of disabilities. And I don't mean that in an unkind way at all. But there are a lot of learning disabilities. Yet the most common learning problem that we have is not a disability. It's not a disorder, but it's a disdain for teaching, instruction, and correction. That's what Proverbs will tell us over and over and over again. As we saw last week, the Bible calls this problem foolishness. And I'm afraid much of society teaches children to act foolishly, to rebel against authority, to reject all rules and instruction. And that's in direct conflict with what God has to say in his word. Proverbs 1:9 tells us not to forsake our mother's teaching. That carries the idea of not leaving it unattended or uncared for, of just ignoring it, of just not taking it and to heart and living it out in the way that's instructed. So I have an idea for Mother's Day. Are you ready? In the handout that you may have picked up, take a few minutes right now to write there or somewhere else at least one thing that your mother taught you that you hold dear to your heart. I asked a young girl earlier this week, I said, well, this is the first day of the week, so it was last part of last week, I'm sorry. But I asked her just a couple days ago, I said, well, what's one thing your mother taught you? And boy, she just, and I thought it was probably just because she had trouble narrowing it down to just one thing. So I'm not talking about necessarily the greatest thing, but think about at least one thing that your mother taught you that you hold dear. Yeah, and write it down. Even if it's something that you didn't always value as you do now, thank God that she impressed it upon you when she did. If your mom's still living, share it with her. Tell her how grateful you are for her influence. Tell her what you wrote. Share it with her. If your mom has passed away, honor her memory by telling someone else how her imprint upon you has blessed you. Tell your kids or your grandkids or a neighbor or a friend. What teaching your mother left you gave you, taught you, imprinted upon you that you value? What if the impression your mother left hasn't been so good? Then learn from her just the same. Be determined to be different and leave a better legacy for others. I cite Isaiah 49:15 nearly every Mother's Day, but it bears repeating as we close today. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on a child she's born? That's a rhetorical question. You would think the answer would be, no, of course not. But this is God speaking. He says, though she may forget, I won't forget you. I'm pretty sure most moms will be pleased for us to make wise choices. I know that our Heavenly Father is pleased we make wise choices. And godly mothers will urge us to pay attention to Him as well as to them. So may I encourage you today, honor your mama, listen to your mama. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for our mothers. I want to thank you for them, for the influence they've been on our lives, for the imprint they have made in our lives. Father, for the examples, for the teaching. Father, for the instruction that they gave us. I want to thank you for the love that they've shared. And so many mothers may not have taught in a formal capacity, wasn't necessarily sitting down and teaching us in the ways that we would if we were in a school setting, but they've taught us by the way they've lived. They've taught us by the way they've loved. And I so thank you, Father, for those mothers particularly who, following the prompting of our Heavenly Father, imprinted upon their children not only their love for them, but the Father's love for them. As we celebrate today and honor mothers, we honor you. Father, thank you for promising never to forget us, never to leave us or forsake us. Thank you for your continued love. Once again, bless us and keep us. And Father, help us to make wise choices. May we be sensitive to you and all that you say. In Jesus' name, and amen.